The cases against James Comey and Letitia James have been thrown out of court. Why does the Trump administration keep falling flat on its face? And what can they learn from this case? Welcome to America Uncovered. I'm Chris Chappell. My fellow Americans, Christmas is upon us once again, which means I can finally stock up on enough Kirkland brand eggnog liqueur to last me until next Christmas. I don't have a problem, you have a problem. But hangovers aside, we have to worry about supporting America's arch nemesis,
China!
That's right, you want to share a little holiday spirit, and then boom, that sweet big fella action figure you got turns out to be made in China. And you just helped the PLA buy a new Type 99 battle tank. So this Christmas, buy American, and I want to help you do it. I'm putting together the first ever unmade in China Christmas shopping catalog. It'll be full of products made in the USA and other friendly countries that are also standing up to the CCP. To fund this shopping catalog, I need your help. Join Operation Take Back Christmas on my GiveSendGo page. Become a revolutionary retail shopper, an anti-big tech patriot, or a soldier in the American Liberation Army to get exclusive benefits. The link is below. And remember, all I want for Christmas is you to like and subscribe. So it looks like former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James will be walking free. For a quick recap, Comey was indicted on September 25th on charges of obstructing a congressional proceeding and making false statements to Congress stemming from his testimony from a 2020 Senate Judiciary hearing. Letitia James, meanwhile, was indicted on October 9th over accusations of mortgage fraud. But now, a federal judge has dismissed both cases on the grounds that the prosecutor was illegally appointed. Let's break this down. So, the lead prosecutor on this case was Lindsay Halligan, former Miss Colorado, third runner-up, and no prosecutorial accomplishments to speak of. The DOJ appointed her as the interim U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, replacing the former interim attorney, Eric Siebert. This came after Siebert made it clear that he had no interest in prosecuting Comey. Now, there are limits to how long you can have an interim attorney, 120 days. Within that time frame, the administration can nominate a permanent successor who then gets confirmed by the Senate. If nobody gets confirmed, the district court chooses a replacement. But here's the thing. That 120-day clock already started ticking back in January. It's like this. The former attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, or EDVA, a Biden nominee, resigned from office on January 20th, 2025. The day after she resigned, January 21st, the DOJ appointed Eric Siebert as an interim attorney. That's when the clock started ticking. The administration had until May 21st to nominate a permanent successor and get them confirmed by the Senate. But that didn't happen. In all that time, the administration never even presented a name, let alone get anyone confirmed. Siebert actually continued in his role past the deadline, with the judge even signing on to continue his interim appointment. But on September 19th, he was pushed out and replaced by Halligan as the new interim attorney on the 22nd. She then filed the indictment against Comey on the 25th, just 5 days before the 5-year statute of limitations on Comey's false testimony was set to expire. Halligan was still operating under the time limit set back in January. The administration ran out of time well before she was ever put in. That's why on November 24th, the case was dismissed, and this rendered everything Halligan had done up to that point, investigations, presenting evidence, authorizing charges, as null and void. But it gets even worse for the DOJ since the statute of limitations on Comey's charges expired while there was technically no legally authorized prosecutor. Meaning, even if they got a permanent successor in place, went back, and redid all that work, they wouldn't be able to file those same charges against Comey. What an absolute mess. Now, both of these cases were dismissed without prejudice, meaning they can be re-prosecuted at a later date. That's fairly easy with the Letitia James case because the statute of limitations hasn't expired yet. But Comey? That's a lot harder. Pam Bondi is appealing the decision, which could go all the way up to the Supreme Court. But if you have to run to the Supreme Court every single time you try to do something, then you're just honestly playing the wrong game. Like, I understand why Trump wants to go after these two. Comey was one of the masterminds behind Russiagate, which sought to undermine Trump's first term by painting him as a foreign agent. Letitia James, meanwhile, attempted to bankrupt Trump's businesses in New York, keeping him in court for years. But forget all the idealistic talk about how the government should work. Politics is dirty. These people want to get back at each other. Fine. But there's a proper way to do this. Duels! But since that's now considered barbaric, you gotta use lawyers. As if that's not barbaric. So if you want high-profile political prosecutions, you need to set things up beforehand. It's like how you always see hacking portrayed in movies. It's always shown as a guy breaking into the system, tick, 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 okay, I'm in. He then injects some sort of code midstream that crashes the system or siphons away money or whatever. This is what's called a man-in-the-middle attack. But that's the Hollywood version, which is rare in real life. Yet that's exactly what the administration tried to do. Plug in Halligan at the last minute right before the Comey deadline ran out. The way you really hack a system is to get someone on the other end. You get someone who works for the company you're hacking to willingly hand over their password. Get someone in the accounting department to enter false information. Bribe a dock worker to mislabel the contents of a container on a ship. This is how you actually get in. So if Trump wanted to actually hack the system and go after someone like Comey, what should he actually do? Let's go back to the timeline. Siebert assumes his role as interim attorney on January 21st. But months before that, during the campaign, the Trump team draws up a long list of vetted, reliable professionals who can fill any vacant slots. The day Siebert steps in, the new administration runs straight to the Senate and says, "Hey, we just won a big election. We have a mandate. Here's a list of nominees." Even if that nomination takes the next 4 months to complete, the Trump administration gets their guy in. He can then go about the work of setting up Comey's prosecution and filing charges well before the statute of limitations expires. And it's all perfectly legal. But that's not what happened. Like I said, the Trump administration never gave the Senate a name. And when they shoved Halligan into the role, it was already too late. So this case was never going to succeed. But this is always Trump's problem, right? Yeah, there are a lot of smart professional insiders on his team who understand how the game is played, but there just aren't enough. And Marco Rubio can only have so many jobs. Most of the people on Trump's team, well, they're just kind of amateurs. But that's kind of understandable. MAGA is a young movement. It's a populist movement. Its supporters are working class, not Ivy League professors. The schools, businesses, and government institutions that produce America's managerial elite are not on Trump's side. So when a young movement tries to do a legal runaround of those institutions, the professionals always win. If you want to know more about these institutions and how they actually run our country, be sure to check out this episode. Suffice to say, if Trump wants to get anything done without relying on the whims of the Supreme Court, he needs a deeper bench of talented people. But that would take years. I'm talking about a long march through the institutions. This is something that socialists have long understood. I mean, how do you think Bill Ayers went from a founding member of the Weather Underground, a far-left terrorist group that bombed the U.S. Capitol and the Pentagon, to a tenured professor at the University of Illinois, Chicago, where he became an alleged mentor of future President Barack Obama? What am I trying to say here? Well, for one, don't slag off on a good education. A lot of people these days say you should skip college and go into trades. Of course, plumbers and electricians are important, but so are lawyers and professors. Bookworms are the people who go to work for all of the big universities and law firms that produce the people in government. And if plumbers and electricians want to support a populist political movement and have it succeed, they're going to need those bookworms. And until that happens, well, don't expect the administration to be getting rid of people like James Comey anytime soon. What do you think? Leave your comments below. And remember, don't buy Made in China this Christmas. Support my Unmade in China Christmas shopping list by supporting my Give, Send, Go campaign. Click below. I'm Chris Chappell. Thanks for watching America Uncovered.